The following program is brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon, located on Division Street, downtown Nashville, and online at kungfusaloon.com. Part vintage arcade, part sports bar, all fun. Kung Fu Saloon.
Now, broadcasting live from the WNSR studios, this is Forever March.
Trying to run a business here.
It's awesome!
By George!
It's awesome!
Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
It's awesome!
He's got his J-Bag, folks!
Baby!
Your Nashville home for the best coverage of the best postseason in all of college sports. Forever March answers all your college basketball questions and gives you all the best college basketball insight. Call now at 615-844-5600.
615-844-5600.
And jump into the madness. And now, here's your hosts, Zach Williams, Blake Lovell, and Ty Richardson.
Another beautiful Saturday morning in the Music City. You know where you need to be, right here on WNSR 560 AM 95.9 FM for the number one college basketball show in all of Nashville. I am Zach Williams. Alongside me, Ty Richardson, Blake Lovell. Guys, how are we doing today here for Forever March, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon?
Guys, doing well. I think today is going to be a very interesting day. You've got a lot of teams that are going to go on the road, and as we've seen this season, if you're a ranked team, you're not guaranteed to win anywhere, and I think that's just sort of the season it's been. We've got a lot of top 10 teams going on the road today, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Crazy to think we're almost 11 weeks through the college basketball season. There's been a number of different storylines, huge injury impacts this week. Jalen Fisher, TCU, shooting guard / point guard, is out for the season with a torn right meniscus. It's crazy. The storylines just keep popping up, and we're only about halfway through.
11 weeks, huh? I didn't even realize that
11
either.
11 weeks.
If you want to get in on the college basketball madness, want to talk to the guys here, 615-844-5600 to call in, or you can get on our Periscope right now. You can go on our Facebook or Twitter and see our Periscope going on at Nash Sports Radio on Facebook and Twitter. You can see us there and leave some comments and the questions and comments, things like that. So let's go ahead and start with the recap of what's happened this week, and then get into previewing today games.
Blake, you talked about a couple big road games today. Well, there was a couple big road games on Monday with the road team actually prevailing. Two top 25 matchups, Duke going to Miami, pulling out the victory, and Kansas going to West Virginia, a place they've lost four straight, pulling out another victory. Let's start with the Duke-Miami matchup. They're down, I think, by 16 in the first half, and they end up coming back. And it really wasn't Marvin Bagley who stole the show that day.
No, and here's the thing, too. I'll say this about Miami, and they're a team I've gone back and forth on probably most of the season, because if you look at Miami's sort of just the way they've played, it felt like there's still kind of something missing, and we've seen that now. They've lost three of their last four games. But with Duke, look, it's just a matter of this is a team that's inexperienced, and I think that's going to be the one thing that keeps brought up all season long is going to be, well, Duke's so young. Are they going to be able to come out and win some of these types of games? I think getting a win like that on the road against a quality team that's going to be in the NCAA tournament, that sort of tells us a bit more about Duke, and it shows that this isn't just going to be a team that maybe loses these road games like they have to Boston College, NC State. They have what it takes to win a game like that on the road, and I think that's going to be what determines whether Duke is put out in the Sweet 16 or if Duke becomes a team that can win the national championship this year.
I'm going to throw this out, and I thought it the same about Duke last year. I think if you look at just their starting five, they don't have a deep bench. Mike Krzyzewski does not play a lot of players. He doesn't give the bench players a lot of minutes. But if you look at their starting five amongst every other college basketball team in the country, I think it's pretty easy to say they have the most talented starting five in college basketball.
Yeah, and you look at that Miami game, right? It wasn't that they were a good team. Duke played awful as a team. It was just their pure talent that they had on the court is what brought them to the win. That was an ugly game, if you're talking about fundamentally for basketball. So, that just shows you that, yeah, we've been talking about how there is spread out talent throughout the NCAA right now in basketball. Not just, it's not just there in the big conferences anymore. But it's, you're lucky enough for Duke to have that kind of strong talent, pure talent, to carry you to a win that really you didn't deserve.
Well, I think Gary Trent's someone, too, that obviously, he went off in that game. He had 30 points, and he's someone now that's really progressed as the year's gone along. And I think that's important, too, when you talk about teams that are this young. You want to see that development. And there are some situations, look at a team like Kentucky, which we'll talk about today. But there are some situations where you don't feel like you're necessarily developing to that point yet. And now you see a guy like Trent that's developed, scores 30 points. He scored double figures now, I think 8 or 9 games in a row. So that's important too, because you're not just talking about Grayson Allen. You're not talking about Bagley. You're having these other guys that can step up, have those kind of games. And we knew it would be that way with this Duke team. They're so talented, like you said. But to do it on the road is the most impressive thing, because even as poorly as maybe they play to start off with, just to get that win kind of shows us that they do have what it takes to win those kind of games.
Yeah, what's interesting about Duke, you know, Coach K over the years, man, we're going to beat you with man defense, tough man defense. This team's better playing zone. When you have 2 7-footers, 2 freshman 7-footers that aren't that good defensively, they are a better zone team. And I think moving forward, Coach K would be wise, even though it's gone against his philosophy for so many years, to run zone, not just a little bit, but a lot more. But I'm just wondering if his ego is going to get in the way. I mean, that's a true thing.
No, I get it. It's just I love you critiquing Coach K.
Well, I mean, am I wrong? Do they play better?
No,
zone?
You're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just, you know, it was funny to me.
No, and I think, too, that, I mean, look, we've always talked about this, too, with where the game is moving towards. Teams want to shoot the three a lot more anyways, and just because you want to shoot the three doesn't mean you can actually shoot the three. And so there are a lot of teams that are trying out more zone when you have a team like this one, like you said, with the makeup of what it is. And so you're going to force teams to shoot outside. I mean, you know, because that's just a better way to win. That way you know what your strengths are inside, but now you're forcing teams to shoot from outside, and the three ball is what it is. It's way more important in today's game, and you're going to see more teams take more shots from out there.
Jim Boeheim's made a living off running that 3-2, 2-3 zone over the course of his career, and now it's just a matter of, hey, Coach K, this is not working. Man's not working. Are you going to switch to zone? We'll see that moving forward. Kansas picking up a monster win in West Virginia Coliseum, 71-66 over the West Virginia Mountaineers, a place they had lost 4 straight. My goodness, Svi Mykhailiu and Devontae Graham really had a great second half. Unbelievable in that game.
Well, so we sit here for the past couple weeks, boys, and we're talking about how it's definitely that year where someone's going to dethrone Kansas, and now here we are. We look at the standings. We're sitting here on January the 20th. And who is at the top? It is Kansas at 5-1 in the Big 12. Then you've got that pack behind them where you have Texas Tech, West Virginia, Oklahoma all at 4-2. But, yeah, I mean, it's sort of a similar situation where we've seen this Kansas team lose a couple games this year. I mean, we go back to that Washington-Arizona State stretch there where they lost the games, and you're like, yeah, like, you know, are we sure we're going to be able to trust this team the way they lost those games? And they've lost every game this year at home. Obviously, the one against Washington, you know, was considered what it was, but – I mean, hey, they're winning on the road. And when you can do that, like I said, if you can win away from home, you're a team that I'm going to believe in a lot more once we get to tournament time because, you know, as poorly as maybe as they played in some of these games at home, which is very uncharacteristic of a Kansas team, they're winning on the road. And to win at a place like West Virginia where it's so impossible to do, that speaks volumes to me.
Whose win was bigger? Was that Tuesday night or was that
Monday night?
Monday night.
Whose
win was bigger, the Kansas win or the comeback for Duke?
I got to go Kansas.
I'd say Kansas, yeah. Too, because that's just because of where they played at. I mean, West Virginia, the style of play, and like we said, I mean, we talked about is this is definitely feels like that year where someone's going to take Kansas down. Mm-hmm. But to get a win like that, they've already won at Texas. They've already won at TCU, and now they have a win at West Virginia. That tells you a lot about this team and the makeup of it. And if they keep having this mentality when they go on the road, which guess what, guys? Their next road game is going to be on Tuesday at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So that's going to continue to tell us more about this team.
Oh, I apologize publicly to Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks on Tuesday
you
morning.
You should have.
You saw my premature tweet. I mean, I said this
was great.
I characterized it. I didn't think Devontae Graham is not a point guard. He's playing point guard. He's a shooting guard. They're not getting to the free throw line. They're still not getting to the free throw line. And the Big 12's better. And yet they beat West Virginia for the first time in 5 tries. So, public apology, Bill Self, Kansas Jayhawks, all you Kansas Jayhawk fans out there. I was wrong because they still are in control.
And then you came on and said you weren't going to delete the tweet.
Yeah, well,
I stand by that.
I'm going to hold it up.
I'm glad
there.
You didn't, even though I said you should. I'm glad you didn't, though. There's a lot of people that wouldn't do it. I see the integrity.
I don't
want to
be
have.
One of those guys.
No,
hey, we're going to retweet that tweet every day for the rest of the season. And when Kansas wins the Big 12, we're going to put that out there, and we're going to tag everyone in the state of Kansas.
We're going to make a shirt out of that. That's going to be the first Forever March merch right there. We're just Forever merch. That's what
that's right. That's a good idea.
Throw it on Freezing Cold Takes.
Hey, let me bring up another game I think that kind of flew under the radar this week, and it's one that I think people need to pay attention to. And that happened all the way out on the West Coast. So if you're someone on the East Coast.
St. Mary's
goes in, beats Gonzaga, and that's just one that you've got to now look at and say, I mean, we've talked about Kansas running the Big 12, you know, Gonzaga, what they've done there. But for St. Mary's, this was a team that was questioned quite a bit after they played out there at the Wooden Legacy. That was in right after Thanksgiving. They lost to Washington State, turned around, lost to Georgia. And we looked at St. Mary's and said, well, they don't really have any quality win opportunities left because of their strength of schedule. But now you turn around, they go win at Gonzaga. The rest of the way, you look at the way their schedule shapes up, it's not unrealistic to think that they could win every other game the rest of the season. And then we're talking about a team that, hey, they're going to be dangerous in March. They always are. Randy Bennett does a great job there, but that was a huge win for them.
Yeah, Jock Landale, my player of the week, goes for 26-12-3 and had a crucial bucket with under 20 seconds of that game. And I thought, looking at what Gonzaga has this year, they're not as talented as they were last year, obviously losing Zach Collins and a couple other pieces, but I thought that they could go undefeated in the West Coast Conference. But then they lose at home to St. Mary's, and now St. Mary's it's kind of switched a little bit. St. Mary's now has that chance, like you said, to go undefeated the rest of the way. We'll see what they do.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with that team. You mentioned Jock Landale, someone who, you know, he's a guy that we talk about NCAA tournament settings, wanting a guy, which we'll get to that, you know, whole NBA draft pick stuff of ties here in a minute. But you talk about wanting a guy that can take over a game. He's the kind of guy you obviously want, and he's proven that he can do that time and time again. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, probably the other day before this game was played, I would have said, you know, Gonzaga, I would still put them in that mix to say if there's a sleeper Final Four team out there, you could still see a team like that getting there. But I just was very impressed with that win for St. Mary's. It was huge.
A big win and just a big, like a mid-major game that a lot of people haven't really paid attention to, but it's a big win for the St. Mary Gales.
Well, we're going to go ahead and take our first break of today's show in our first hour, but you can go ahead and give us a call in. The phone lines are open, but we're going to get to an interview when we come back with Eric Fawcett, I believe. So you're going to have to wait a little bit. I know you're chomping at the bit on the phone line right now, trying to break through. The lines are right now. They're tough to get through. It's hard, but we're going to get to your calls here soon. 615-844-5600, the number to get in if you want to. This is Forever March, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at nissanofrivergate.com. Coaches, players, analysts, and more. You're listening to Forever March.
615-844-5600. Number you got to call in if you want to get in. This is Forever March. We'll be live at Kung Fu Saloon next week, the 27th of January. You can come watch us live. You can come yell at Blake all you want if you have different views than him.
I appreciate that.
we would greatly appreciate it. But right now we are going to go to the phone lines, but not for caller questions. We have somebody on the line, Blake. Who do we have?
Yeah, guys, we have another great guest here today, and that is Eric Fawcett. He covers Florida for Gator Country. Does a lot of great work. Also contributes to Press Basketball. Eric, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I was looking forward to being on the show last week until you guys had that wild storm. So I'm hoping the weather is a little bit better for you guys, and it feels a little more like Nashville and a little bit less like Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a balmy 45 degrees today, yeah. So it feels good.
We're going north of the border here today with Eric, who is in Canada, and he probably laughed at me last week when I said we were moving the show because he probably saw snow as something that, you know, just sort of a daily occurrence. But Eric, to talk about this Florida team, obviously a big matchup today. They're playing Kentucky, always a big game, no matter kind of where both teams are at. To start off with here, you know, one of the guys I think that will obviously play a key role in this game, but he's going to play a key role the rest of the way, and to see him get out of his slump against Arkansas was huge, and that was Kayvon Allen. Goes for 28 points, and maybe you feel like he's kind of getting back into his rhythm. What do you think maybe has been the biggest problems just with his struggles this year, and how do you kind of see him here bouncing back as we go forward?
You know, the thing about Kayvon Allen, truthfully, is that I think his offensive game is actually fairly limited. And though that sounds like a little bit of an insult, I don't mean it that way, but he's a guy who has a pretty good jump shot, but not an excellent jump shot. He only really shot, I think, 37 or 38% last season, which is a good mark, but it's not, you know, that's not lights out. And then he's a guy who's kind of a straight line driver. So there's his game. He's either a guy who can hit threes a little bit or attack a closeout in a straight line drive, but he doesn't have a lot of shake to him. He doesn't have a lot of dribble moves. So so his offensive game has been fairly limited. So when his jump shot doesn't fall and he can't attack closeouts and use that great athleticism and kind of powerful, compact body, it just leaves him as a guy without a lot of tools. And the biggest thing I saw was, you know, I think he obviously knocked down a lot of his threes against Arkansas, but he also showed a little bit of a floater game, some a little bit more in the mid-range, and I think that's what really opened things up for him. Because he's a guy who either gets everything shooting threes or at the rim. And just to see him mix in just a really simple floater where he just teardropped it home over some shot blocking, that really expanded his game a lot. So, it's great to see. He's a really quiet guy who has never really showed that killer instinct. So when he was slumping, it really hurt him. He didn't have the confidence to kind of think the next shot was going down. So we'll see how he bounces back, or not bounces back, but see if he can continue that that great effort against a really good defensive Kentucky team.
You know, Eric, another guy I think that'll obviously play a key role, and he has certainly the past couple weeks here, and that's Keith Stone, someone who, you know, his start to the season was not great, but now we've kind of seen him grow into more of a scorer. I mean, he's been able to score in double figures for the last five games. He's someone that's obviously stepping up in the absence of John Igbunu, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But what have you seen from Keith Stone that's kind of impressed you the most? Because I think he's someone that he's going to have to continue to play like this just with Igbunu out, because, you know, especially in a game like today against Kentucky where you've got all these big guys inside.
Yeah, he's another guy who I think had a little bit of a confidence issue. It's crazy because if you look back two seasons ago when Keith Stone was redshirting, Florida really struggled to score, you know, early in the Mike White era, just those three seasons ago. And Keith Stone was redshirting, and there was legitimate conversation at the start of the conference play that they might burn his redshirt and get him in the lineup as a freshman because they thought they could genuinely use the scoring. So then obviously that made people pretty excited for his first season last year as a redshirt freshman. And he just never really had that offensive play that the coaching staff talked about. So it took till conference play of this season for him to show that he has a really, really pure shooting stroke and the ability to catch the ball in the high post against a 2-3 zone and square up and make a pass. Like you said, just for things they really, really need, because they need him to play, you know, upwards of 32, 33 minutes a game, sometimes playing the five, which he's a little undersized for, but they need him there. So if he can at least exploit some bigger players when he plays the five and just add some more floor spacing for some of the really talented guards that can get in the paint, he'll be another super valuable tool.
Eric Fawcett covering Florida basketball for Gator Country on the phone with us. John Igbunu, Blake mentioned him, he comes back to practice this week, non-contact drills. When he's ready to go full speed again, Eric, who do you think Mike White should go with as his permanent starting five?
Oh, that's a great question. I kind of think you have to stay with Kavarius Hayes as your starting five for the time being, just because it's just crazy. It's almost been a calendar year since John Igbunu was injured. And therefore, you know, there's been a lot of games going back to last season and obviously up to this point where Kavarius Hayes has been your starting five. And Kavarius Hayes does not have a lot of bulk. He gets pushed around a little bit, but he's an excellent help side defender, one of the best shot blockers in the SEC, if not the country. And if you can start a guy like that out and then bring the size of John Igbunu back, I think that's a real luxury. And I shouldn't speak for his physical condition. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But for a guy like John Igbunu, who's hauling around 260 pounds and his game is all size, strength, and athleticism, it's hard for me to imagine even when he comes back, he'll be at that same form. So I feel like he'll be limited in minutes already. So I would think you keep Kavarius Hayes as your starting five man for the time being, and I'm sure there's going to be lots of matchups where you might lean more on John Igbunu, but I would kind of temper him in, get him in the matchups you need, and maybe he only plays 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 minutes for the first couple weeks. But hey, that's a guy in March that you could really really use to block some shots and get some offensive rebounds.
He's a guy they really honestly need tonight going into Rupp Arena, a place they've lost three straight games. They've actually won, though, seven of their past eight games this season. They're looking pretty good. But Kentucky has won 30 straight at home. The Cats are favored by three tonight. Who would you bet on?
I think this one, you've got to bet on Kentucky. The way that they, like you said, the way that they play at home, the way that they defend, I think, is a really tough matchup for Florida. They're able to really protect the paint while also getting out to shooters, and they've done really well at defending the three-point line, really well at defending spot-up jump shots, and obviously we know that's a lot of what Florida does. And then you add in that Florida's missing some front-court bodies. Chase Johnson, a guy who's getting minutes earlier, he's hurt. John Igbunu, obviously. And then Gorgeous Gack, we're not sure if he's going to be able to play. He's in concussion protocol. So Florida's front court could legitimately look like Kavarius Hayes, who's a bit undersized to play the five, Keith Stone, who is has okay size of the power forward, and then Igor Kulikov, a guy who is a shooting guard, 6'5" and 200 pounds, that's been playing the four for Florida a lot this year, and a redshirt freshman in Dante Bassett, who has never really been trusted with any big matchups. So that is their front court rotation, and that is tough when you go into Rupp and play this Kentucky team.
With Florida sitting at the top of the SEC right now, is Florida the best team in the SEC? Or if not, who do you think is?
Best is such a crazy term because, like, there's still a part of me that thinks that Texas A&M is going to be so scary by the end of the season. Like, that's a team I will not want to match up with in the SEC tournament. And in the NCAA tournament, if you find them as a really scary, like, 6 or 7 seed just because of the losses they've already taken. But I love watching Auburn, and there's a part of me that's just cheering for them with just I love the wild storyline of them losing players and being up at the top. But I do think it's going to probably be Kentucky or Florida. And I think I might go Florida. Just with a few more veteran guys, and if John Igbunu gets back shortly, just because of kind of the, I mean, it's not much of a cushion, but just they have the bit of the lead already, so I think that would make me bet on Florida. But you could make a solid argument for Auburn or Kentucky to win as well. You could get creative and even say Alabama, and that would be believable because I love the way they defend and can still score. So lots of good options at the top, but I would still be betting Florida or Kentucky.
Yeah, Eric, I think you're right. I mean, we talk about this league just the way it's played out this year. To see Texas A&M down where they are, and I don't think anyone thinks that they're the second-worst team or the worst team in the SEC, just in terms of the way they played in the pre-conference. But going back to this matchup tonight, obviously we talked about just what some problems could be for Florida and talking about Kentucky's size and length and how they affect shots and stuff. But if you're looking at this game right now, what's maybe the biggest thing you feel like Florida needs to do to win tonight?
Florida needs to rebound, especially on the defensive glass, because Kentucky doesn't shoot the ball well. We all know that. And sometimes their best offense is an offensive rebound. So Florida is small. Florida is undersized. But if they can find a way to rebound the basketball defensively, then that's going to cut off a lot of the offensive opportunities for Kentucky. And, you know, if Florida could even muster a couple offensive rebounds, that means that Kentucky can't get a defensive board and run in transition as much, and Kentucky's really good in transition as well. So if you can take away their transition a little bit and take away their second chance opportunities, both due to rebounding, I think that Kentucky might struggle to score a little bit. So I think rebounding is huge for this undersized Florida team.
Eric Fawcett, our guest here on Forever March, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon. You can follow him on Twitter at efawcett7. So, Eric, I've seen a lot of criticism of Trae Young lately. We've kind of shifted up a little bit. He's a true freshman, and I saw you threw a stat on Twitter that in Steph Curry's first game, he had 13 turnovers against Eastern Michigan and then comes back and scores like 20-plus on Michigan State the next night. Are media members and fans being fair enough with Trae Young considering he's still a true freshman?
No, I don't think they're fair at all. But if you're going to have a start as wild as Trae Young has had, and you're going to play a style that Trae Young plays, which is so flashy, so many tough shots, so many crazy passes, I think that there's a lot of media members that are just waiting to crucify that guy. there's something about guys who play with that flash and style that I think doesn't always rub people the right way. And I think there's a lot of people that were just waiting to be like, oh, you know, this guy's not going to be able to do that at the NBA level because he's too wild, he's too reckless. So I totally think people are being unfair to him, whereas I think people should just look at the fact that he's doing historic things in college basketball. To see his usage rate relative to even like Jimmer, and to see it so much higher, and to see the numbers he's putting up, for people to say oh, he's putting up these, it was like Steph Curry at Davidson. It's like, well, actually his numbers are blowing Steph Curry's Davidson numbers out of the water, and he's doing it against better competition. So, I'm just personally enjoying it. And I think not everyone is personally enjoying it. I think that everyone was kind of waiting for that game to happen so that they could, make a lot of jokes and kind of tear him down a little bit. But, I think Trae Young will be all right. I think he plays with so much confidence that one game like that isn't going to waver him.
Eric, listen, man, really great to catch up with you. We've been wanting to do this for a while, so great to have you on, and we'll definitely talk to you again here soon.
Hey, that'd be great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Eric. All right, Eric Fawcett, Gator Country, does a great job. Just like you said, Ty, just if you love basketball, NBA, college, whatever, you have to follow Eric on Twitter because he just has a lot of great stuff on there. Very funny guy, so be sure to check that out.
Yeah, watch his Val video. It's great. He yes. alludes to a bunch of NBA players and a bunch of NBA stats. All right, well, Blake was asking me earlier when we were doing the Donato's Pizza giveaway. We're doing it right now.
Oh, yes.
Donato's Pizza, it's the best pie in Nashville. Blake and Zach have both had it. I've had it. It's the first pizza I've had in Nashville. They have a thin crust pizza. It's large, and it's got 100 pepperonis on it. 100 pepperonis. You don't get that anywhere else. They have two locations in the area, off Broadway in Nashville and off Franklin Road in Murfreesboro, and it's just a great pie. I love it. I get a different one every time I go in there. We throw the videos up on social media so you guys can see that as listeners. So right now we're giving you a chance right here on Forever March to win a large one-topping pizza. Just call in 615-844-5600. All you got to do is call in 615-844-5600. First caller gets a large one-topping pizza from Donato's.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take our second break of today's show. We'll be back right here. We'll get to your call, 615-844-5600, right here on Forever March, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on-site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at nissanofrivergate.com. Madness is just around the corner. You're listening to Forever March.
Welcome back into Forever March, the number one college basketball show in the Music City, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon. And you know who else we're brought to you by, guys? Just the best in car service, sales, people, just friendly people all across the world. I mean, really, these guys are the salt of the earth when it comes to car buying experience. You got to go check them out. That's my friends at Nissan of Rivergate in Madison at 1550 Gallatin Pike North, 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. Go check them out. They have the best parts, the best prices, the best people. I mean, it's just... it makes the car buying experience so much more easier. I mean, it's always hard hassling with all these salesmen and things like that. You want to be with people that you like, and these are the people that you are going to like, I promise. www.nissanofrivergate.com, the website if you want to go see all the great deals they have right now on new or pre-owned vehicles, or you can give them a call and talk to them to yourself, 615-865-7220. Tell them your friends here at WNSR invited you down. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
All right, so we put out the poll question earlier. I'm going to let Blake kick this off, and the question
is... No, I want Ty to start this.
No, Blake...
Because you're the
Blake,
one who brought this up.
Blake
this
is confident
This
about
was your
it.
Idea.
Can you get to an NCAA Final Four without NBA talent on
really?
Your
no.
roster?
What started with this, right, is
the Purdue.
Can Purdue... get to the Final Four? And then we got into the talk about you believe you have to have the one stud, right?
At least one.
At least one stud. Well, NBA
With the except, there's, and I have one exception on my list in the last 5 years.
All right, I got a couple exceptions.
Here you go. How about we start with this? Define at least one NBA. So, what do you mean by
someone
NBA?
That's drafted in the first 2 rounds?
So they can be drafted the very last pick of the 2nd round, and they're considered a true surefire
NBA
prospect.
And even if they're in the G League,
this is where I ran into it a little bit, because Za'Darius Thornwell was really the only player on that South Carolina team that was drafted in the late 2nd round. But I wanted to add in something. You can make up for that with superior coaching. Frank Martin,
I would agree with
superior
that.
Superior coach.
Sure.
What does a superior coach do? He makes a team better. He doesn't make a player better. He makes the team better.
Makes the team and players better. And that's why I'm saying you can make up for that. I don't think Matt Painter is a superior coach that can elevate his team to a Final Four, even though they're very good this year, and they're probably going to win the Big Ten for a second consecutive year regular season. And Isaac Haas, great player. Carson Edwards, really solid college player. Let's throw that out there.
Are they playing for the NBA championship or the college
basketball? No, they're playing for the college basketball championship.
Okay, just checking. I wasn't sure.
Let me just throw this out. In the last 5 years, there's only one team to make the Final Four without a player drafted in the first 2 rounds of the NBA, and that is that 2013 Florida team that beat Davidson in the 2013 Elite Eight. That is the only team in the last 5 years not to make it. To make a Final Four without one. Yes, that's right.
No, the problem with this argument is that you're saying that being drafted makes you NBA quality. That does not make you drafted. Playing well in college makes you quality to get drafted, but it does not make quality NBA counterpart.
And that's fair.
So
you
look at 15-16 Syracuse team. Give me one player that is in the NBA right now playing.
Malachi Richardson's there, and then
G League. Give me somebody in the NBA.
No, that's fine.
Wichita State.
That's fine.
13-14. Give me a player that's in the NBA.
That's fine. That's a good argument. And actually, Ron Baker. So that's wrong.
Development league.
He's on the Knicks.
He's on the Knicks development league.
No, he's not. He's on the Knicks roster. I watched him play 2 weeks ago. Do you want me to look this up?
But see, this is what I'm saying. This is the whole argument, is the idea that we're saying that just because somebody is a quality player in college, which is totally, and I get the idea of the argument that you want a stud, right? We're looking at Oklahoma, looking at Trae Young right now. He's their stud that really is making a average, better to average team.
Ron Baker played last night, just had some.
Okay, so maybe I looked at that one wrong, but still, the idea, and I have a whole lot more list of teams in recent years of players that didn't really go anywhere in the NBA, right?
Okay, so NBA, would you guys be satisfied with NBA prospects?
Argument. Now, hold on a second. That's what I was going to bring up. So, when are we considering these guys NBA prospects? Because I would argue, as Zach said last week, there are obviously guys that before we get to the tournament may not get into that second round of the draft that by the end of the tournament are drafted because obviously people got to see more of them as the Final Four, as the NCAA tournament went along.
Josh Hart's one of them.
Right?
From
Villanova. So yeah, their stock is automatically going to go up. And like you mentioned with Josh Hart, he was drafted 30th that year, first round, 30th overall. His stock probably went up obviously based on how they played. And so that's a discussion too, but I'm with you in that you certainly need a guy like that, but it is not required, I don't think, to necessarily get there. And I think, you know, it's an interesting discussion. We've talked about this, and that's why, you know, I can see either way, but I don't necessarily think it's a requirement based on the way the game is played now. I just don't think it's necessary.
Okay, so
I think the term is a broad brush, right? Saying that somebody is NBA talent, because NBA talent is a vague phrase in the sense that anybody can really be NBA talent if they're playing in the NCAA level and they're playing for a Final Four, if they're playing, because they're going to get drafted at some point. That's going to happen. A lot of players go undrafted and turn out to have great NBA careers.
No, that's not true. Some players, not a lot of players.
There's a fair amount of players that got undrafted and still played well in the NBA. I'm not saying they were like elite NBA players, but guys who were solid bench guys that come in to play. I mean,
statistics prove otherwise. That's not true.
No, I think it's more. Well, wait, we're talking about, if you're talking about statistics showing up, isn't the first round draft pick usually the worst player that ends up playing in the NBA?
No, it's statistically the top 10 players of the NBA draft are the best players in the NBA. If you look at statistics over the years, that's been proven time and time again. But I get that. That makes sense. There are some undrafted players, and I think it's foolish to think otherwise. Oh, if a player, just because he went undrafted, doesn't mean he can't have a successful NBA career. I agree with that. My point is, if you look at the last, And the talent, the NBA talent slash NBA player, that's also a comparison. I just think when you look at the last 5 years, which I've shown that, there's only one team, Florida, which I don't know how Scotty Wilbekin, I guess, I don't know where he's at. I don't know how he didn't get drafted. That did not play, that there's only one team that did not eventually have a player drafted in those first two rounds. So let me, if y'all want to regroup for a second, let me throw this out there. So do you think that a team can make it to a Final Four, even though statistics would almost prove otherwise, in the last, so we've had 5 years, so 4 times 5 is 20. Last 19 out of the last 20 teams that made it to a Final Four have had an NBA player drafted from that team in the first or second round of the NBA draft. So I looked it up. I made sure to look at every statistic. Now, they may not be playing, like you're saying, Clancy Early no longer.
The teams on my list, I was thinking just first round. I never looked at the second round because if we're saying somebody is obvious NBA talent, you would think first round.
I never said obvious. I just said NBA talent.
Okay, well, see, I think that's different because, like I said, I think because the second round, the numbers, and they are all over the place sometimes. You don't really know what you're going to get because of, you know, the way the contracts used to be with second round picks and all that kind of stuff. You don't really know if guys are going to turn out to be what they are, but I am still of the opinion you can get there. I know what the numbers are. But I still think you can get there. So let's take, for example, we talked about Purdue. Virginia, are they a team that can get to the Final Four?
I don't think so. And I love Tony Bennett. I think he's the most underrated coach in college basketball. But who on that roster can you honestly say has a good shot of getting drafted in their first rounds or being an NBA prospect? And I know that, and like I said, elite coaching makes up for that. Billy Donovan is a great example. That 2013 Florida team didn't have one. Greg Marshall at times has not had the most talent, but he's a great coach. There's other coaches you can name out there. Mark Few, not last year because Alex Collins got drafted by the Kings, that 10th overall pick. But over the years, he's had great teams without elite NBA talent. But I just think Virginia, and I love Tony Bennett. I don't think so.
Okay, well, see, here's what I would say, though. I would put Purdue and Virginia in the same category in that if I asked 100 people that question, they would say no, but their primary reason would be because they haven't had success in the NCAA tournament before. Not necessarily that, you know, they're not talented enough to get there. I think they're talented enough to get there. I just think a lot of people are going to hold their past against them, and that's probably would be a reason why you would be concerned if you get your NCAA tournament bracket, you're filling out, and you don't get Purdue or Virginia there.
That's fair, and I think there's two separate weaknesses for both teams. Virginia's weakness is always going to be, can they score enough offensively to keep up with the team? They had Syracuse in their sights dead in the water it was 2 years ago. And then Malachi Richardson just goes off in the fourth quarter. The second half of that game just goes off, goes berserk, and they lose that game. Purdue has had some quality teams these past few years, but they have, like I've alluded to, they have not been to an Elite Eight since 2000. So, and their weakness is when they play an up-tempo style team. So if they get, and you always talk about this, when you match up against a tough team that is like messes up your style and whatnot, the biggest proponent to succeeding in the NCAA tournament that you are always allude to is matchups.
Yep.
So if Tony Bennett's squad gets a dominant offensive team.
Like Florida last year. That's what they ran into last year.
Or if Purdue and Matt Painter run into a team high-flying, up the floor. Like, let's say they get Texas. Shaka Smart, that weird press, or West Virginia or something. That matchup's not great.
Yeah.
So they run into those two separate things. It's not Painter and Bennett have to find a way to figure out their weakness and become that elite coaching, do what Billy Donovan and other great coaches have done and get past their weakness.
Well, this is where I think, too, that, you know, is the biggest problem with this argument that you're coming with. And it's not so much that – I think it's more on not so much just the players, the teams, but I think it's a lot of fault to media members ourselves. When you say that, oh, this guy is NBA ready. This guy is done. He's in the water. He's ready to go. And this goes for football. This goes for baseball. This goes for all sports, right? When you give the tag that somebody has already had their future set, that they are going to be excellent, that's when you start going into the unknown with people going in with absolutes. So saying that any player you know, right, with some, we'll talk about a high school recruit coming out, the biggest high school recruit, Zion Williamson, right? And that's the biggest.
Announcing his decision tonight at, 7:15?
Something like that, yeah. You know, people just all in on him already to be an NBA star. If he could, he would already be in the NBA. He'd be going to the NBA instead of college, right? I think that's where the responsibility of media members like ourselves have to rely on. I get the ideas of numbers and all that. You have to rely on the idea that you don't know, and we don't know, right? You don't know if a guy is just certain. There is no certainty in the world. And I think that's where the biggest problem is when you say that, you know, the NBA talent has to be there to win. You know, it's just the idea of the unknown can happen so quick. And, you know, you look at Derrick Rose, right? Derrick Rose, great college player, get in the NBA, MVP, boom, injury. And his, what is he now? It's almost a faint memory of how what he used to be because of the injury. It's just I get worried when you deal in the absolutes with players and statistics and things like that. It just that's when I feel like as media members we need to find the reconciliation of that. You know, these guys are humans at the end of the day, and it's just I can't ever say that, you know, you have to have the NBA talent. That just never fits for me.
I think
so absolute.
That's fair. I think, but most of the time when you look at statistically.
And you're wrong, Ty.
So, yeah. But so what, let's go and bring it back home before we get to a break. So what is y'all's final, what is the final argument from y'all's end that you don't have to have a single NBA player?
I don't think so. Look at this year's teams. Teams that I would say right now have a very good chance to make the Final Four. Purdue, Virginia, West Virginia, Xavier, those kind of teams.
You don't think Javon Carter's an NBA player?
If I'm looking, and this is what I did, I pulled up the NBADraft.net.
Okay.
So I'm looking at their 2018 mock draft, and unless I'm overlooking it, I don't see players on those teams anywhere. And so that would be what. Well, now, do I think he can play? Absolutely. I mean, that's what we're talking about. He's a guy that's NBA ready, but is he going to be drafted? I don't know.
And see, you changed the argument just then. Is he an NBA player or is he an NBA stud? Right?
Because I never
that's
said
if you're
stud.
Saying first, you're saying, well, okay, it's not, you didn't use the verbiage stud, but the idea is that if you're getting drafted first, second round, right, you're thinking that that is a NBA prospect that is ready to go first day. Like,
no,
you know,
it's
if
not.
People looked at Lonzo Ball
second,
or whatever.
Second rounds are not considered technically ready to go first day. That's not what I'm saying. I just think that I think Javon Carter's going to get drafted in the second round. I think that someone's going to take a chance on him. He's one of the best two-way players in college
basketball.
I
agree completely. So. He's a great player, but and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm just pulling up a mock draft, which, you know, these things change every day.
Okay,
so.
Let's do this. So we won't know until after March and see who makes the Final Four, and then we'll find out in June when the players get drafted. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the final when we do the show next year. We're looking at the Final Four teams and seeing how those players, if they're on NBA team, if any of the players are on NBA teams or drafted, and then we can kind of centralize and come together and form an argument together.
It gets deeper though too, because then we have to look at, well, what did these teams play matchup wise? Because that's where I think Blake hit it on the head, is that it's just the matchups are so important that even a great player can have an off night with a bad matchup and. Then, you know, it's out of the water and they're out of the game. That's my whole problem with Trae Young, right? Is that it's that the one game in the that can decide if you're Final Four eligible, right? It's just the one game in the tournament. You just have a bad night and then your team's out. Even though you might be the best player in the country, doesn't help.
And just real quickly on this, Javon Carter is in most mock drafts. There are several I'm looking at right now that he's not in, and I'm not sure why he's not on there. So I don't really know. I think I'm with you, though. I think he's definitely a player that'll contribute at the NBA level. So that's weird that he wasn't on there.
We said West Virginia, and I think they're kind of ruled out because I think Javon Carter's on there. So Virginia, Purdue, who are the other two teams you said?
About Xavier?
Travon Blewett, is he not an NBA?
I'm just looking at the mock drafts that I'm seeing, because, and that's why I think you're seeing, and these mock drafts are what they are. They're just pure speculation. We have no idea how things are going to play out the rest of the season, but, and that's really all we have to go by now, right now, though. Just seeing what they are in all these mock drafts, and they're going to change every day, like I said.
All right, guys, what do you think? 615-844-5600. I got to tell you about Kung Fu Saloon Nashville, the title sponsor of Forever March. Brunch on Saturday and Sunday, 50 Cent Wings on Monday, 20-plus vintage arcade games that you can play, Donkey Kong and a bunch of other fun games. They got happy hour Monday through Friday, 2 to 7. We will be doing a live show there Saturday, January 27th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Be sure to come out for that. It's off Division Street in the Midtown area. Lots of TVs. You can watch some great college basketball this season. Go check it out.
Yeah, and I want to reiterate that the show 10 to 12, we'll be moving a 1 hour forward to fit with Kung Fu's opening schedule, which they open at 11, so it'll be 11 to 1. That's when the show will be on next Saturday, but like I said, like Ty said, you're going to be able to come out and see us live, you know? I'm a lot better looking than I sound, I promise. But yeah, go ahead and give us a call in, 615-844-5600, the number you want to call in. If you want to argue this idea too, if you need an NBA prospect or NBA whatever to be in the Final Four, or who you think might be in the Final Four, give us a call call in right now, 615-844-5600. This is Forever March, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on-site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at nissanofrivergate.com.
This is Forever March, your Nashville home for college basketball.
Welcome back here on Forever March, the number one college basketball show here in the Music City, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon. 615-844-5600. We're going to dive into some of your questions, so we're going to get into the mailbag here in a second, but we're going to go ahead and start off with at Derek Billy on Periscope. He asks, how does Trae Young bounce back after a disappointing loss at K-State?
I think he's going to be fine. And, you know, guys, we talked about it with Eric earlier, and Eric was talking about the turnovers and all that kind of stuff. And look, I mean, this guy has been the best player in college basketball all year long. Yes, he had a tough game at Kansas State, but
which happens.
If you look at the overall body of work, there's no reason to believe that he's not going to come out today and play well at Oklahoma State. That should be a high-scoring game, and I think that it'll be one of those games that goes down to the wire because it's a rivalry game, but I have no concerns just with Trae Young here going forward. I know the turnover is going to be brought up, but he's a very good player, and he obviously does more good than bad.
Can we say, looking at the overall body of work, can we honestly say right now, being a true freshman, we know he bounces back?
I feel pretty confident that he'll bounce
back. I feel confident too, but my whole idea, we haven't seen him do this right.
Only three losses. Neutral Florida, Arkansas, on the road K-State, on the road West Virginia.
They're still a very good team, and we knew it was going to be this way in the Big 12. Winning on the road was not going to be easy, and quite frankly, you were going to get blown out in some of the games, and we've seen that in their two road games so far with the two that they play. Obviously, they won at TCU, but they got beat at West Virginia, which most teams do. They got beat at Kansas State, which is not an easy place to play. We've seen Kansas go there over the years and lose games there. A lot of good teams have lost at Kansas State.
Yeah, so my only point of saying that is just this is the first time we're going to have to see him bounce back from a bad game.
We know, Zach. You don't like Trae Young.
I love Trae Young. I think he's a great player. I think he's great for college basketball. And he's amazing for Oklahoma. But it's just, you know, we got to see how the young kid bounces back. How old is he? 18? Maybe?
I don't think it's necessarily a case of, you know, he may not score 35 points tonight, but I still think he's going to be the key to whether they can win or not. And obviously, again, Oklahoma State's not a bad team. Yeah. So,
all right, let's get into the rest of the Southeast Hoops mailbag. This is from Dave Wainwright. What do you think the ceiling is for the number of teams that make the dance in the SEC?
Nine.
I think it's nine. Wow.
It could happen. It's probably not likely, but I think eight's probably the number I would look at right now. And I've continued to stay on seven, but I would probably move it up to eight at this point. Even with the teams losing, and that's what I keep saying, I do not see one surefire Final Four team in the SEC, but I do see seven or eight teams that if they won a couple games and got to the second weekend, I wouldn't be shocked. So I think that they could very well get eight teams in, and nine is probably reaching, but it's certainly possible, I think.
At Brent Bray, what does Vandy need to do to get back in the winning stride? I'm just gonna answer it for you real quick. Time Machine or the DeLorean?
Well, Vandy's got to make shots, and that's kind of what it comes down to. They got to be able to hit shots, and until that happens, they're gonna struggle. And there's a really good article up at southeasthoops.com. Robbie put up a great article this week talking about individual development. That plays a role too. So Vandy's just got to make shots. They better do it today against LSU.
First hour in the books. We're gonna continue the mailbag on the second hour at the beginning of the second hour right here on Forever March. Keep with us. 615-844-5600, number you want to call in. We still got some time for questions right here. Forever March, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon.
The following program is brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon, located on Division Street, downtown Nashville, and online at kungfusaloon.com. Part vintage arcade, part sports bar, all fun. Kung Fu Saloon.
Now, broadcasting live from the WNSR studio. Welcome back to the second hour of Forever March.
Trying to run a business here.
It's awesome!
By George!
It's awesome!
Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
It's awesome!
He's got his J back, folks,
baby!
Your Nashville home for the best coverage of the best postseason in all of college sports. Forever March answers all your college basketball questions and gives you all the best college basketball insight. Call now at 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. And jump into the madness. And now, here's your hosts, Zach Williams, Blake Lovell, and Ty Richardson.
Welcome back into Forever March, the number one anti-Purdue show on the air. If you're a Purdue fan, just go away. Don't listen to the number.
Only on Ty Richardson's side. Please do not credit myself.
There's a barrier here for those watching on Periscope to separate me from those Purdue lovers over there.
Speaking of Periscope, Ty does his own Periscope Monday through Thursday, right? Called
the Morning Fast Break.
I hate you, Purdue.
You're anti-cup of Purdue.
So if you really want to get in some Purdue hate, go listen to that.
I like Matt Painter.
By the way, Purdue is playing right now. We're watching it here on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
And my goodness, they are down 3-0. Three minutes into the game, Purdue is definitely overrated.
Oh, wait. Just tied it.
I think Carson Edwards just hit a three.
He's not an NBA talent, so it doesn't really matter.
615-844-5600, number you want to call in if you want to get in. Also, you can search the WNSR app on your iPhone or Android device and download the WNSR app. You can take us on the go, listen to all the SoundCloud links, and also you can get on the Apple Podcasts, iTunes Apple Podcasts, search Nash Sports Radio. You can hear all the past dated content that we've had, all the shows, not just our shows, but all the shows here on WNSR. And also you can get on our Facebook and Twitter at Nash Sports Radio if you want to see our Periscope to leave comments or questions here in the second hour. So we left off the first hour doing our mailbag. So I guess we will keep it going with the mailbag question. So I'm trying to remember who we already did or who we didn't. How about this one? At Dave VCU, what do you think the ceiling is for?
We did that one.
Never mind. Let's do. Did we do Bill Pottle?
No.
Does South Carolina keep it rolling against UT? That was at Pottleade 1.
All right. Well, I picked South Carolina to win in my predictions post that I continue to do on southeasthoops.com. And, you know, that's not a confident pick. That's just one of those things where we saw how well South Carolina played against Kentucky. And the one advantage that South Carolina is going to have over most teams around the country, most teams in the SEC, is that they are going to play with a level of physicality on defense that not a lot of other teams play with. And the question is, can the opponent handle that? Kentucky couldn't really handle that. That's just South Carolina. They're going to bruise you. They're just going to play with that kind of style. Chris Silva's been very good. Tennessee, interesting bounce back here, losing that game at Missouri. I don't know. I don't really get a good feel about this game because we could very well see South Carolina kind of have a letdown after that big Kentucky win. But with the way they play defense, it's going to be hard, I think, for Tennessee in this game.
What about Daniel St. Louis Fanatic _80? What's your predicts? I'm assuming you mean prediction for the Mizzou A&M game. I think it's going to be pretty tight throughout.
And I compare that to the Tennessee South Carolina game. It feels like it's going to be one of those grinded out types of games where, you know, both teams are going to play defense very, very well. And we know that there are offensive talent on the floor on both sides, but it's just going to be one of those games that will go down to the wire probably. And with Texas A&M, they weren't necessarily impressive against Ole Miss. I mean, they got the win with that buzzer beater for Ole Miss. It went all the way in the basket, came back out. But that was one of those things where Texas A&M needed some luck, and they got it there to get their first win in SEC play. If you want to feel good about Texas A&M's chances to move forward and be that team that we think can get to the second weekend in the NCAA tournament, I feel like this is a game they have to win. And maybe it's just a matter of continuing to build that chemistry. It's a close game. I'd probably put it a toss-up either way. I'd pick Texas A&M. But Missouri obviously has played very well. And with the way they can shoot the ball, they certainly have a chance to win this game.
I like this question a lot. At Big Blue View 56, what do you make of the trend of five-star guys staying at home and playing, i.e. Trey Young, John Petty, etc., for home state U instead of the college elite programs as they've done in the past? Do you think it will continue?
I do think it will continue, and we've talked about that, guys. I mean, we're seeing that a lot more now where, you know, guys are staying home, and we talked about, you know, Zion Williamson, someone who, where is he going to go? I mean, is he someone who's going to stay home, or is he going to go elsewhere? And I think that's a fair question. We're seeing that happen with a lot of players now, and maybe it's just a situation where kids just want to stay closer to home. They want to have a chance to be that hometown hero type of guy for their Division I college basketball program. And it's also a matter of the coaching, too. I mean, if you have a good coach and you have someone that can recruit well, you obviously have a better chance of having guys stay at home. I mean, look, Ty, you know, look at Arkansas. Mike Anderson's had a chance to have a lot of guys stay at home. He's done a good job of keeping guys there. And that's the same situation for a lot of other coaches around the country. So it's difficult to do, but I think, as we're saying, you see what Trey Young's done. We've seen what other guys have done. We're seeing it happen a lot more these days.
I'm sure old Brad Brunell and Frank Martin are chomping at the bit to get Zion tonight. We'll see where he makes his decision. One of the biggest and best college basketball players in the 2018 class. Last one, this is from A. Shifty. Could Mizzou be a contender for an SEC championship, even though without Michael Porter Jr. at the moment?
For a regular season SEC title, you know, I'd say probably not, but can they be a team that can, you know, they're still one of those teams that if Missouri is playing at home, you can see them beating anyone in the SEC. I don't think there's really any doubt about that. And look at where they are right now. I mean, it's not like they're down the standings. They're 3-2. They're fifth in the conference. I just feel like still the team like Florida, Kentucky, maybe Auburn, if we see Auburn bounce back again today, which I think Auburn will bounce back against Georgia. But maybe you put Missouri just kind of a step behind those upper-tier teams. But look, the way they play defense and, like we said, the way they've improved their shooting overall, Jordan Barnett's played very well, Cassius Robertson, obviously what Jontay Porter can do. You feel good about the way Missouri's developing, and I think that was on display in that win they had against Tennessee the other night, is that they're grinding out games, they're finding ways to win. They've been a little up and down, obviously, when you look at their past five or six games. They'll win one, lose one. But that's just the nature of the SEC, I think. And so we'll see what happens there.
I think we got one more we didn't ask yet, and it was actually at the very top. I think we missed it. If I did, just, you know, let me know. Do you think Alex Reese deserves more minutes? Alabama seems to play better when he's on the floor. That's from at Evil AD Byron.
Greg Byrne, Evil AD.
Byrne, sorry.
No, Alex Reese, he's been one of those two. I mean, him and Galen Smith are two guys that, for Alabama, we came into the season obviously talking about Colin Sexton, John Petty, what they could do, but Herbert Jones is a guy that's played very well, obviously, as a freshman, and then you're talking about what Alex Reese and a guy like Galen Smith can do, and they certainly give him, we talked about it, a level of physicality, even as freshmen. Big bodies in there that can help him, because Daniel Giddens is a guy we've talked about a lot, too. He's had trouble staying on the floor because of foul trouble. Now, he's getting better at that, but even with Dante Hall on the side of the floor, you know, Hall played the other night, had the wrist injury. He played. I don't think we expected him to play, but he did. And so Alabama has some good options there in the front court, and I think Reese is one of those guys. Galen Smith's one of those guys. I like the way they've developed, and those two are going to continue to play, I think, a pretty important role because they could get 15, 20 minutes a game at times. And Alabama will need them to play well.
All right, let's go ahead and hop into the only top 25 matchup up today. Xavier going to Seton Hall. Seton Hall, a team that's played pretty well so far this season. Xavier's been inconsistent. They played well, and then they get blown out by Villanova. What do you think about this game today, Blake?
Well, I mean, I think with both teams, we've seen ups and downs, and it's kind of weird you feel like to say that because a combined record of both of these two teams, I think 32-7. But with Seton Hall, I came into the season looking at them, and I thought they were a legitimate threat to Villanova. I mean, just their toughness, their experience, the way they play defense, like we talked about, a team that can be very physical on the defensive end of the floor is always going to have a chance, in my opinion. But they've also had some pretty kind of head-scratching losses, I think, when you look throughout their schedule. They got blown out at Marquette. They got blown out at Creighton. They lost that game at Rutgers. That's one they're definitely going to want back. So, being at home, though, it's a different story, and we can look around at different teams, go back to the SEC. I mean, look at a team like Arkansas, a different team at home, teams like Mississippi State, Ole Miss. It just shows you how tough it is to win on the road in these power conferences. And when you look at Xavier, I still think, you know, once Xavier gets to the NCAA tournament, I don't care what their matchup is, they're going to be a hard team to beat because you have Chris Mack on the sidelines, and he is – continues to be one of the best coaches in all of college basketball, whether anyone wants to admit it or not. But it's an interesting game because we've seen Xavier, too, on the road. They obviously got blown out at Villanova. They lost the game before that at Providence. You know, maybe you have to lean towards the home team here just because of kind of, you know, how helter-skelter these two teams have been when we talk about playing home and away.
Now, since Blake will be leaving us after this segment, and you could tell people where you're going
to
go.
You'll still get to hear my voice. I'll be on the segments. I just won't be here in person.
We should have done this in the first hour for obvious reasons, but I want to go ahead and do it now. Upsets today. want to get into upsets. My upset, and the reason why I'm going to get to it today, I wrote this down last night. I was thinking about it last night. It was going to be Houston over Wichita State, playing at Houston. Currently, right now, Houston's winning 12-5. So I wanted to go ahead and
game over 12-5.
Yeah, 12-5. But who is y'all's upsets today?
Ty, you got one?
Yeah, I got one. Notre Dame beating Clemson. I think that there's a couple reasons going into that. So Clemson now 0-59 in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Unbelievable stat. One of the craziest NCAA basketball streaks in college basketball. I think they're going to come out dejected after they lost earlier this week. Irish are due with the win. They've lost three straight. And I think having Matt Farrell, he's back. I think they're going to play a little better. Clemson's favored by 7. And I think that the Zion Williamson thing is going to affect his basketball team. Zion, I'm sorry. I think that Zion, having not made his decision yet, I think they're going to be focused on that. So Arkansas, back when Malik Monk chose Kentucky, Arkansas played awful against Akron at home, one of the worst teams in college basketball that season. They beat him by like 8 or something. And I thought to myself, man, a recruit picking at school can't affect it that much. But they were so set on getting Malik Monk. He goes to Kentucky, and that just dejected that basketball team. I think Zion, if he chooses another team or if they whatever, I think that they're going to play bad. And I don't think they're going to be focused today.
I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to give you guys two. So Iowa State is hosting Texas Tech. Iowa State has not been great this season. We knew it would be a rebuilding year for them. But it just feels like there's something in this game that makes me want to sort of lean towards Iowa State, because we've seen these types of upsets. We know how hard it is to win on the road sometimes in the Big 12. And then you have a Texas Tech team, you know, that's been a top 10 team. I mean, look at where they are right now. I don't know why. I just kind of lean and feel like there's an upset potential there. Another one to watch here. And this is a team going into the season we thought would be one of the most improved teams in the country. And they're just now starting to hit their stride, and I think they're worth watching here going forward, because the Pac-12 is a very interesting conference right now. Stanford against Arizona. Stanford has been on a roll. They've won 5 in a row. They've beaten good teams along the way. They've beaten UCLA. They've beaten USC. They just got the win over Arizona State at home. We kind of saw a similar situation when Colorado beat Arizona State at home, turned around, built that momentum, turned around and beat Arizona at home. I think we could see the same thing here, because Stanford's starting to find their stride. They have everyone back on the floor now. That's a very interesting game to watch out for.
Yeah, Hilton Coliseum. That's one of the toughest places to play in college basketball, the home court of Iowa State. Yeah, they're not good this year, but I like that pick too.
All right. Well, Blake, we will talk to you later, my man. We'll talk to you on the phone later today, later in the show. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we will come back with a interview right after this, right here on Forever March, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on-site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at nissanofrivergate.com. This is Forever March. Call in at 615-844-5600 for all your college basketball questions.
Welcome back into Forever March. Two-thirds of Forever March, as Mr. Blake Lovell has conveniently left us now here for the rest of the hour. I know he's probably listening, so I just wanted to go ahead and call him out on that. But we got a man on the phone right now. Who we got right now, Ty?
We got Barstool Riggs on the phone. He covers college basketball for Barstool Sports. What's going on, man?
Not much, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. All right, so Riggs, I grew up in the press atmosphere with Arkansas. That's a team I've watched for a number of years. Nolan Richardson ran it. John Pelfrey ran it a little bit. Now Mike Anderson's running it. So this big league writer comes out last week and saying it's ruining basketball and they need to end it completely. And you had an issue with it. I had an issue with it. In your mind, why is that article and that thought just completely stupid?
I mean, just the premise of it is the dumbest thing in the world. That's like saying you can't be tall and play basketball because you have an advantage for offensive rebounds. It's a style of play where it's like saying you can't hold the ball. You can't play like Virginia and take too much time off the clock on offensive possessions because it limits how many possessions the opponent has. Like, it was honestly just the dumbest thing I've ever read, to put it bluntly, because it's a style play. Like, you can take advantage of it. Teams can take advantage of it. Like, if it was a huge advantage, guess what? Arkansas, West Virginia, they'd be winning titles year after year. They haven't. Like, it's a style play like anything else. And it was just, I mean, the guy just missed a boat. I mean, it was just factually incorrect.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you actually wrote an article that I read, I think it was end of 2017, maybe in November, about why teams don't press enough. And there's a different style of press. West Virginia, Arkansas, they're up in you 94 feet, up in you the full court. And then there's Villanova, where you half court press and certain other teams run it. Looking at the statistics and how it limits offensive possessions, like good offensive possessions, and it just limits the time you have left on the shot clock, why don't more college basketball teams press?
It's a couple things. One, our coaches are stubborn. You know, if they run a half-court man-to-man, like, that's just how they're going to be. We see it right now with, like, Krzyzewski and Calipari kind of avoiding running zones, even though they should be running zones. I mean, Kentucky's a perfect example. Like, they should be pressing nonstop this year, right? Like, use your athleticism. You have depth. Use that. You know, let everyone kind of run, you know, run around and trap and go. But it's a weird thing because it depends who you play too, obviously. You know, there are some matchups where, like, you don't want to press Villanova, where there's a bunch of ball handlers and they can beat you with shooting and they can beat you getting to the lane. So it's one that I think every coach should kind of have in their back pocket and use time to time, because we see, how many times do we see teams collapse against the press?
Well, let me get into a question now, and we're going to move from the press, which, you know, a lot of people do because they don't like to don't like the press. But we're going to go and talk about, you know, talking, being in Tennessee and talking about SEC basketball. I'm using them as an example, but this is all across college basketball. What do you think about the talent spread this year in basketball, how it's not so much, there is no the Power Five teams and teams like that really are kind of struggling in a sense compared to how much talent is spread across NCAA basketball. You look at SEC, how Kentucky really taking a step back with how many teams, look at Alabama, how Colin Sexton spread. How can you talk about the spread of talent in all of college basketball?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing more, though, this year is the ability for upperclassmen to test the waters and leave early for the NBA draft. Like, that's taken away some more of the upper class. And that's why you're seeing, you know, this year a lot more balance of talent, because like, there's always been, you know, five stars that have gone elsewhere than the blue blood. So it's not like this year's an aberration with Sexton at Alabama, or even like Brandon McCoy at UNLV, but it's just more, those teams that typically win early with the upperclassmen just didn't have them this year. They don't have their better ones this year. So I think it's more of a weird year in that sense than it is something you'll see standard going forward.
And also, we had a question earlier that came through in our mailbag talking about players staying home, i.e. you look at John Petty in Alabama, Trey Young in Oklahoma. Do you think that's going to be more of a trend instead of people going, especially with tonight being Zion Williamson making the big decision, or whatever they're calling it, the announcement, I don't know. But do you think that's going to be more of a trend with big-name players staying home or still going out to Dukes and things like that across the country?
I think it's going to stay kind of how it is. Like, you know, there'll be one or two big names every year that stay at home. Obviously, I think, you know, if I bet, I would bet Zion stays at home with Clemson. But, you know, the Kentuckys, the Dukes, the Kansases of the world, they're still going to pull from, you know, New York, New Jersey, Texas, Illinois, all over. But you'll see, you know, there'll always be, you know, two every year that kind of spur the big name and stay at home for, you know, maybe a lesser known or a lesser heralded Power 5, Power 6 type conference team.
Regis is our guest here on Forever March, presented by Kung Fu Saloon. Follow him on Twitter at Barstool Regis. All right, you're an NBA GM, Regis. Pick one. DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, Trae Young.
Ooh, I've had Bagley number one before the season, and I still had him number one the last time I did a top 30 release. But it's close, man. Like, I feel like DeAndre Ayton's going to pass him at some point. I'm just kind of betting that Bagley figures it out a little bit with the shooting consistency and the defense. But I'll take Bagley just because I think he's a little bit more versatile than Ayton. And, Young's in his own world, too. So it's tough, but I'll go Bagley for now.
All right, Sean Miller's never made a Final Four. He's had some studs come through Arizona. Lauri Markkanen, Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson, Aaron Gordon, Derek Williams. I mean, there's others that I can name. Looking at his team this year, you got DeAndre Ayton, who's probably first, second, or third pick in the NBA draft, and Alonzo Trier, who's either early second round, late first round. Can the Wildcats finally get to the Final Four this season under Sean Miller?
Yeah, they can. I mean, it's been a little overblown as the fact that he's never made a Final Four because he's made, like, what, three straight Elite Eight and lost.
Won't have to play Wisconsin this year.
Won't have to play Wisconsin. And he lost the one where Derek Williams should have went to the rim against UConn and said he settled for a pull-up jumper and missed. So he's had kind of bad luck in that sense. But it's, I think what people kind of forget is it's so tough to make a Final Four. Like, let alone win the thing. It's hard to make a Final Four. You have to win four in a row against three or four really good teams. They absolutely can do it. Like, they have top five talent, you know, in the country. It's just a matter of, can they figure out what the heck to do with their lineups?
Now, you talked about Trae Young being in his own world, and a lot of criticism has came to Trae Young ever since the Kansas State game. What are your views on Trae Young right now? We had another question coming through our mailbag talking about if he would bounce back after this K-State game. What are your views on him right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a road game against a team that's a pretty good defensive team, and he's a freshman. Like, it happens to it happens to every freshman in the country, but it also happens to juniors and seniors. Like, I think his legs were a little gone because he had to play West Virginia and Texas Tech back-to-back two of the three games prior. You know, that takes a toll on a guy. He pressed a little bit, but, you know, I'm not going to overreact to a road game against a, you know, NCAA tournament bubble team that's a good defensive team. He's still phenomenal. I kind of joked in a blog today that, you know, I think you have to overreact because that's what everyone wants to do, you know, the moment there's a bad game from a guy like him.
Makes good content.
Yeah, right. Like, it's if you just say immediately, like, well, Trae Young's normal, and it's like, no, he's not.
Riggs, let me keep the Trae Young conversation going. So, looking at KenPom, he is the number one player in the country right now in possession. And I'm a huge Oklahoma City fan. Russell Westbrook has taken the majority of shots, possession, whatnot. And so Westbrook's been up all these MVP numbers. And my thought is, well, he has the ball like 90% of the time. And Trae Young's doing the same thing. He's taking the most shots. He's passing because the ball's in his hands. Long career's basically giving the keys to the kingdom and whatnot. Could I make the argument that because Trae Young has the ball 24/7, that he might be a little overrated, especially with possibly being an NBA draft prospect?
No, I mean, you have to remember, like, they're playing up and down a lot more. It's part of Kruger's offense. Like, it just kind of fits what he does best. Like, he's not. I think one thing you have to remember too is he's getting his teammates involved. He's not. It's not like he's running down just jacking up shots every possession. He's doing a little bit of it all. So I'm not worried about that.
All right, Riggs, co-host of the Fundamentally Sound podcast. You can find all of his college basketball content at Barstool Sports. Riggs, one more fun question before we let you go. So you do that Fundamentally Sound podcast with Ben Bruss, former Wisconsin player. How many times have you guys talked about that shot, that like half-court shot he hit against Michigan to tie that game up in, I think it was Madison, but it could have been in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, it was in Madison. He brings it up quite a bit. So I just have to keep him back down to earth and remind him about the Aaron Harrison shot. So it's always fun.
He did that. Aaron Harrison did hit that. He defended it as best he can. He had a hand up, and Aaron Harrison was like 3 feet behind the college three-point line. I mean, golly, I didn't know that was – I forgot that was him, man. Jeez. Oh.
Yeah.
That's something you could definitely bring him down a little bit. All right. Riggs, co-host of the Fundamentally Sound content, Fundamentally Sound podcast. You can find all of his college basketball content at Barstool Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Barstool Riggs. Hey, man, appreciate the time. Appreciate you just sharing your content with us, and hopefully we'll get you later down the road.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Barstool Riggs. Thank you for calling in. Before we go to a break, real quick, we had a question come through. I think we actually kind of already mentioned this. At Lil Wonton, Lil Wonton, is it Ton? T-O-N-N, I think, whatever. Who you got tonight between Florida and Kentucky?
Wildcats, easy. 30 straight wins against SEC opponents at home. Florida has not played well there as of late. 3 straight losses in Rupp Arena. Kentucky's only favored by 3. College game days there. It's going to be one of the best atmospheres in Rupp Arena all season long. If Igbunu's playing in this game, it's a different story. But they don't have the size and talent right now to match up with Kentucky at home. Now, if this is in the O'Connell Center in Gainesville, I'll take Florida. But I'm taking Kentucky right now tonight. I'm taking actually pretty good. I think Kentucky blows the doors open tonight. I think they win by 10-plus tonight.
Did Kentucky lose to Tennessee at – was it at Tennessee or was that at Kentucky?
Yeah, no, it was at Tennessee.
It was at Tennessee. So. Okay. I was about to say, I was like, didn't Tennessee beat him in Kentucky?
Yeah.
But anyway,
and
yeah.
One more stat about that, Zach, before we get a break. Kentucky, last 4 years under John Calipari, has only lost consecutive games 3 times. So they lost last year consecutively, year before, and I think they skipped 1 year and then the year before because they had that team that – only lost against Wisconsin. So 2014, 2015, they only lost against Wisconsin. So I think it's very hard. It's very hard for Kentucky to lose twice under John Calipari.
Yeah. And it could happen, but we'll see. We'll find out later today. But we're going to go ahead and take a break. 615-844-5600. Got to pay some bills. Back after this right here on Forever March. Brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on-site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at nissanofrivergate.com. This is Forever March, your home for college basketball.
615-844-5600, the number you got to call in if you want to get in here on Forever March, the number one college basketball show in the world and in the Music City. Right now, guys, I got to tell you about my friends over at Nissan of Rivergate. I talked about them last hour. You guys got to know about this. I'm going to beat it over your head. I'm going to kick the horse while it's down. I don't care. If you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle and you're wanting the best deal, best prices, and the best people to go with that deal, then you need to go check out my friends at Nissan of Rivergate at 1550 Gallatin Pike North. That's 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. Check out their website. See what they have online. Look at their deals. They have them listed all across. They have all their sales going on. They have everything you need to see online. www.nissanofrivergate.com. Or you give them a call at 615-865-7220. Tell them your friends here at Forever March sent you down. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
All right, let's get into our favorite segment of the show. Blake Lovell is at the Vanderbilt game. They are taking on the LSU Tigers today at 12. We're bringing him in on this for Word Association because you can't do it without Blake Lovell. So I'll start.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go with TCU without Jalen Fisher.
Worrisome, right? I would think it's a little bit worrisome. The injury, it's sad, right, because of the injury. And all, but when you lose somebody like that on your team, it always hurts. So I don't know exactly, you know, teams will bounce back, right? You always hear the old adage, next man up, things like that, but you know, they'll find a way, right?
I don't think so. I think TCU's Big 12 title.
Over?
I mean, they started out slow in TCU for TCU standards. They started out hot for TCU.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And they started out bad in Big 12 Conference. So I think it's over. I mean, this is a guy that's averaged 12-5 this season. I know their backcourt's deeper than it has been, and Jamie Dixon's done a tremendous job there. But in Fort Worth, their chance of a Big 12 title, it was slim already with the way they started in conference, couldn't win the close games, but now it's shot. Shot bad. So Blake's actually going through security and whatnot, so we're just going to keep going bantering for
He's security? Security's tight at Memorial.
He texted me and he said, just bring him on. I'll tell you when I'm ready. So, yeah,
well, that's fine. That's fine. I'll go ahead. Well, this was one, actually, yours ties into what mine was. I was going to use the word injuries.
Worrisome, because, I mean, Evander Jones, that's not really an injury, but leukemia.
There's a lot going on. Well, that one, leukemia, it is an injury in a sense. It's a scary one. Yeah. This isn't just a broken ankle or anything, but.
This is coming from a guy that's lost his mother to cancer, so I know that situation and how painful that is for a family to find out a disease of that magnitude.
But a lot of injuries right now going through the NCAA. And, I mean, as these things happen, not only, I mean, you look at football, basketball, all injuries happen, but it seems like the crucial point, it's almost like how the NFL this year, right? The NFL had so many starting guys injured, so many big names injured that it really, I mean, it kind of turned the season around in a way, right? So, like, you see some of these injuries with just all across the basketball right now. And it's going to change the landscape for sure. Just like with TCU, right? It's going to change what they do. It's going to change their game plans. It's going to change their play styles, everything like that. And there's that old adage. I really hate it so much, but the whole next man up thing, But that's what they have to do. So who knows?
Blake actually just texted me. He's going to join us for the last segment. So I guess it's just me and you for this, Zach. This Arizona State flashing the plan, really have not played well as of late.
The truth is coming out, right? State, kind of like TCU started out hot, and now Arizona was the adverse of that at the beginning of the season, and now Arizona's starting to play better. And really we're just seeing the weak conference that they are as a total, the weak conference in total with
and they're not winning it. That's what's bad.
Yeah, so you're starting to see the true team come out. This is why you can't trust the AP polls and the beginning of the season, people that ride or die with whatever the media says, people like us say, right? You can't always trust it. You can't always worry because you got to wait a little bit. You got to let it marinate a little bit and find out what how the gumbo tastes at the end of the cookie instead of at the beginning.
Yeah. Arizona State, they have no depth. Mm. Bobby Hurley has done a fabulous job in Arizona State, but they have no depth. And as good as that team is, Trey Holder is a outstanding basketball player, great point guard / shooting guard, just a great player.
Yeah,
but they when you don't have depth and you're not like Duke can be okay. Duke has five stars littered throughout that roster, so they're gonna be fine.
Yeah,
but a team like Arizona State needs to have quality depth, quality experience. They have an okay experience, but they don't have any depth. They don't have a good bench that they can rely on when their starters are tired or not playing well. So that's gonna be faltering weakness for them moving forward.
And that's the adverse to what you mentioned with Duke, how they can just run their five, and they'll in that Miami game, right? Their bench had, what was it, 3 points is what the bench can
is that all it was?
It was 3 points, I believe. I could be wrong. Jeez. 3 or 9, but still, regardless, that's not very good on either side. So, you look at teams like Arizona State, you got to have that depth. You got to have guys that can come off, get you, if a bench can come out, get you 15 points, that's at least a solid add to what your starters are going to do. So, yeah, depth with that. I'm going to test your knowledge here. Matthew Knight Arena.
Matthew Knight Arena.
Do you know who that is?
Is that where UT Chat plays?
No. That's the McKinsey
Okay.
Arena.
give me a conference.
They used to be the MacArthur Arena.
Give me a conference and let me see.
Oregon. Just going to give you the team. It's Oregon's court.
Oh, just the like the out
their basketball court.
Yeah, that's the Nike design or whatever.
It's
on the court.
Well, it's the pine. They got the pine trees and everything for Oregon. I think it might be, and I'm not trying to be facetious here. It might be the worst court.
Oh, you don't
in
like,
all of basketball. I hate it.
You don't like
I hate it. When it comes on TV, I actually saw we had Barstool Riggs on. Big Cat had tweeted it and saying we're always reminded when Oregon goes on national television how terrible the court looks, and it looks so bad it makes you think your TV's breaking.
I think it's cool.
You like it?
Different. Yeah, I'm very for anything differently. Oregon does. Actually,
I like that too, but the court was just, it's just ugly.
My buddy goes to grad school there, and he was actually at that game. Were they playing Stanford? I'm going to go to their schedule real quick. Yeah, but his buddy's at that game. It's an awesome atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. I bet it's a crazy atmosphere.
Yeah. They got a good thing going down there. Autzen Stadium's one of the more they lost to USC on Thursday. That's who it was.
Okay.
And the infield squad. That's one of the best college. I feel like that would be a great college town.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Are you kidding me? Right next to where Nike's home, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, what Oregon does with their basketball, football, just their uniform designs and things like that, it would be so fun. I love breaking tradition. I have said this so many times. I hate UT and how they wear the same thing. I hate Alabama, how they wear the same thing. I hate tradition in sports. The Pittsburgh Steelers have the worst uniform design ever. The way they keep one emblem on one side of the helmet. It's terrible. I hate tradition. Try different stuff. They tried something with the court, with the trees around it, and it's terrible. Gotta move on. You know who I like is the it's the NBA team, the Hornets. Their
emblem.
Yeah, well, no, not their emblem, but their court where they do the hive. It's the honeycomb hive thing on their court. Looks super good. It looks great on TV. But when I'm watching a game and I'm watching Oregon play, I don't want to have to adjust my TV because the color's going in and out because it's dark around and then light in the middle. I can't do that. It makes me want to change the channel. I don't understand why ESPN would even put it on the game. Oregon might be playing well. Who cares? The court's terrible. It looks bad. I'm not going to watch your team. I'm sorry. I had to get that out.
Get that out there.
Yeah, it was bad. It's bad.
UConn being awful at basketball.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
It's Kevin Ollie. I mean, you look at the team with
Let's UConn men.
Yeah, men.
Women's is just might be the best thing ever.
Dino Auriemma. Trust me, the UConn women basketball team is in very good shape. Kevin Ollie's was I hated that they kept him. You win a national championship. Oh, contract extension. Everyone, coaches deserve it. Blah blah blah. Didn't do much during that national championship run. That was Shabazz Napier and Ryan Wright.
What year was that? That was
ISO.
4 years ago?
2013, 2014. Because that was the team. That was the Kentucky team.
Yeah,
was an 8 or 9 seed, beat Wichita State, and then went all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Should have beat UConn, but Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright took over that game. Yeah, there was actually Jeff Goodman put this out. He's a college basketball writer and a reporter for ESPN. Security had to compensate a student sign that said "Fire Ollie" on it. Kevin Ollie, the head basketball coach at Connecticut. So yeah, well, why is what do you feel? Give me some word association with UConn being bad at basketball.
Confusion. I don't understand it because you look at one end of the spectrum. You have Alabama football and sneakers. And your women's team, basically, they just run through everybody. How long was the streak? Like 150 games they won straight without losing or something like that.
Who?
The women's team, the UConn women's.
Oh, it was 100. They had two separate 100 streaks.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I want to say they had their 111th game streak.
Yeah,
and they're like 104th or something.
And now they're like on their way now to go to another 100 streak, but to not find success on the men's side. It just doesn't make sense. This is actually something that, let me bring it down to something that nobody else here will understand. UTC had a really good basketball program under Will Wade, and they had their women's team who would go deep into the tournament, and they would actually play pretty well. I believe they made it to the Sweet 16 my graduating year, or maybe it was the year before that. But conversely, the men's team was playing good under Will Wade, who's a great coach. The last year that he was there before he left for VCU, they went and played Indiana, I believe. I think it was Indiana, and lost in the tournament. But you saw the women's team, the way they were playing, it almost made the men better because it was like you have a good basketball program. And it's weird that UConn, being the school they are, being the basketball school that they are, not being able to succeed in men's basketball, and it's clear that it's a coaching thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's clear that there needs to be a move made, and can I call them the UT football team of basketball? Like, I mean, that's what it seems like. They have Butch Jones on their sideline, not going for it on 4th and 1 or whatever. It's just they keep losing games.
Yeah.
So
I think it also shows the fact that how good of a coach Jim Calhoun was, Hall of Famer, and it's not as easy as it has looked to win in Storrs, Connecticut. I think you can talk to Aaron Torres about that. He covers college basketball for The Athletic and for KSR, Kentucky Sports Radio, because he went there and he was during, and he can tell you all about Connecticut basketball. Here's the thing. Icons, Rip Hamilton, Ray Allen, Kimball Walker. I mean, Connecticut's not short on great college basketball players to roll through their program, so it's just crazy to put where they are. You got one more before we go to break?
No, that's all I got. I only came in with two because I was hoping, well, Blake, yeah. I was trying to be time conscious. I'm trying to think of one real quick. We did the Teddy Valentine one last week.
Happy.
So,
that's
not
a quick one now.
I think that's got to be it, you know. So we're going to go ahead and take a break, come back on the other end, and wrap up today's edition of Forever March, brought to you by Kung Fu Saloon.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at nissanofrivergate.com.
This is Forever March, your home for college basketball.
615-844-5600 if you want to get in. You got the final seconds. This is it. We're in the last second half, right? This is buzzer beater time if you want to get some questions in. It's Forever March. Ty Richardson, Zach Williams, Blake Lovell is on the phone, I believe, but I think he's caught right now in the national anthem
at
Memorial.
Which is far more important than the last six minutes of our show. But let me tell you about Kung Fu Saloon, the title sponsor of Forever March. Free play on Sunday. That means any of the arcade games you can play for free. And that does not include skee-ball. You can always play that for free. Wow. Skee-ball, as the game that we grew up playing at Chuck E. Cheese. You can play it as an adult at Kung Fu Saloon.
Did I play that at Chuck E. Cheese? I don't know.
You absolutely
did.
I
played that snake game. You know, remember where you have to, like, balance the ball to get it, like...
Yeah, that game.
Yeah. I guess it's like a form of skee-ball. Anyway, go ahead.
happy hour 2 to 7. They have private karaoke rooms that you can rent, that you can have parties at. We will be doing a live show there January 27th, as in next Saturday. That will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. rather than our normal time of 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. because that is when they open, and we are all about catering to our title sponsor. It's in the Midtown area. Once it warms up a little bit, you can go play Jenga, checkers outside. They got ping pong. Great place to watch college basketball. Go get some burgers and tacos while you're there, Zach.
And tacos. At least now you can go outside and do all the ping pong and everything. It's not, which is weird, you know, because as I saw, we just lost Blake. I'm starting to get the feeling Blake just doesn't want to talk to us anymore.
He just said, let's forget. That's probably smart. I mean, it's hard to do.
Oh, did he just say that? Yeah. Oh, Blake. Okay, it makes sense, it makes sense.
He's inside the Memorial Coliseum, the raucous atmosphere for this LSU Vanderbilt game.
True, people are on edge right now, wanting Vandy to find winning ways, which I don't think they're going to find. But what was I talking about? Kung Fu. You know, now that it's weird that it was 5 degrees for so long in Nashville that now that it's 45, I'm like getting sweaty when I go outside. I'm so acclimated to like Alaska weather right now that like I'm not used to it anymore. So yeah, for sure, come out and see us next week. We would love to see the crowd out there at Kung Fu and talk with us, you know. We'll hang out with you after the show and all that, and talk things out, and you know, just get to know us as people. We're humans, you know.
And we will actually be, I'll go and make this announcement, I'm going to throw it up on social media today. We got a pair of Preds tickets we're giving away. Adam has gifted us a pair of Preds tickets to give away. So again, if you like the Predators or college basketball, join us next week because we will be giving away a pair of Preds tickets.
How are we
going to
give
location.
That away? So, okay, now and to put this, the tickets that we have that I just know as a station for the Preds, this is lower bowl near the glass.
Seven rows up from the ice.
Yeah,
they're
this is
phenomenal seats.
Great seats, guys. So if you... I almost wonder, should we give them away to people who show up?
Yeah, that was the plan.
That's the idea, yeah. Ooh,
so
man.
You have to show up to get the Preds
tickets. Going for like $110. Yeah. All right, guys, if you give two of them away, that's like $200, $220. So why would you not find your way to Kung Fu next week, January 27th, 11 to 1 p.m., to, one, just have a great atmosphere, and two, hear a great show, because you know that's what we bring with you all the time here on WNSR.
Yeah, and I think we'll give away a couple of Kung Fu merchandise, including hats. hats, a hat or two, and then also I'm talking with their marketing manager. I think we're also going to be giving away a couple of gift cards as well, Ooh. And hopefully some food will be out and about. You can find your way some munchies. So I think it's going to be a lively atmosphere next
giving
week.
Giving away hats in a place you can't really wear hats.
So
think about that.
But you can't wear it backwards. I think you can wear it front.
I wore it backwards when we went in.
Oh, really?
Maybe it was because it was during the day. They might only have that rule at night.
I think that their dress code applies only around. But yeah, all right, moving on. All right. So we mentioned some word association stuff. We mentioned our upset picks. Mm-hmm. Let's get into our team and player of the week before we close out the show. We only got about Ooh. 3 minutes there. I talked about him earlier. Jock Landale, St. Mary's center. He had 26 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. They beat the Gonzaga Bulldogs on the road. He puts them up 3 with the under 20 seconds to go with a great seal and easy layup. You can follow him on Twitter at @jock_L. Pretty simple Twitter username. And then for my team of the week, how about Alabama? 76-71 victory over the Auburn Tigers, snapping Auburn's win streak. Auburn had not lost to that point November 17th. They had not lost since November 17th. And Alabama was able to do this without who's that? Colin Sexton.
Yep.
Did not play.
I was forgetting his name.
Yeah, Colin Sexton did not play in that game. They were still able to win. So that was my team and player of the week.
Team of the week for me is going to go with Kansas just because
huge win.
Just like Alex Smith in fantasy football, Ty, they must have read your tweet at halftime and came out with fire in their eyes. And the player of the week, I'm going to keep it with Kansas. Going to need your help saying his name, though.
Svee Mykhailiu.
Yeah, Mykhailiu. That's his name. I was going to say Mykhailiu. But yeah, Mykhailiu, the performance that he put on to lift that team.
Oh, second half.
That's why they all say, you'd rather have your team win in the second half than in the first half, right?
That's fair.
And that was what happened. Going up against a really tough West Virginia team. A really tough, just the way they play.
4 straight losses in West Virginia Coliseum for the Kansas Jayhawks. Bill Self has not had a lot of success there as of late, and they were up by, 16 in that game?
Yeah.
16 or 18 at one point.
You know?
So
And we didn't even talk about this either. That same night, Michigan barely beat Maryland.
They squeaked out against
Maryland. Yeah, 1.68-67. So that was another one right there. Do you want to give a little preview about game? We haven't really talked about much about the games today that are going to be going on. Not that there's so many going on that are, you know.
Which game do you want to hit?
I don't know. I was just actually looking at them. So
I think a game that's kind of flying under the radar is Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State, Bedlam, and basically everything they play in. It's a big rivalry across all sports. And Trae Young, like we mentioned, played great at home all season, has not played great on the road. I have been in Gallagher-Iba Arena. It's a great atmosphere. It's a small venue, but it's a really tough place to play. Watch for Trae Young to maybe not have a great game against a rival.
Oh, so you're thinking he may not bounce back as well as people expect him to.
And think they're playing Kansas on Tuesday at home. That's going to be the game. I know it's a rivalry
game.
This
is a rough stretch for Trae Young, being that he's, really a true freshman having to carry the load for a sense on that Oklahoma team.
Also, Texas going to West Virginia is going to be another good Big 12 matchup.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us here at Forever March. We'll see you next week starting 11 to 1 next Saturday, live on location from Kung Fu Saloon. I'm Zach Williams for Ty Richardson and Blake Lovell. We'll see you next week right here on Forever March.